As we come once again to the end of another year, the beginning of a new one, we look back over what we have seen in this past year, and in general, we'd have to say it was not a good one. We look at the violence, look at some of the horrific things that have occurred. We see that things are being set up in a certain way. At the same time, we see the good that is happening. We see some extraordinary things that are occurring. Thankfully, on the positive side, we see that people are finally waking up and saying, awake, not woke, is the way to go, because that is what's natural. People are rejecting what is unnatural. And the wonderful thing about that is that for years, the media has pretty much controlled the minds of the people. And they essentially operated like an echo chamber. You have to remember that there are six people who own every major media outlet in the world. They control the entire message. But the problem is that most people don't know that, and so they watch this station and they say this, and they watch that station, they say the same thing, they watch a different station, they say the same thing. Everybody's saying the same thing, therefore, that must be true. And if they're all saying the same thing, it's what everybody must believe. And so the idea is that if I don't buy into this garbage, I'm the one who's weird. I don't fit in. And of course, it's natural for human beings to want to fit in. Gets us in all kinds of trouble all the time, but that's what we keep on trying to do. And as long as the media was able to continue lying and lying and lying and lying and telling us the same garbage over and over again, no matter what you listened to or no matter what you saw, it appeared that they had the upper hand. I've given you these kind of things before, but remember there was a poll that was taken. This was a few years ago. And they asked in one of the polls, how many people, what percentage do you think are homosexual? And the people of America said 53%. It's 2 to 3. But because the media was hammering at this at the people over and over and over again and making it look totally mainstream and normal, it was so much that the majority of people in America thought that half of the people are that way. You see the control that the media had over the minds of the people. And yet, God had already written natural law into our hearts, as he promised through his prophet Jeremiah. And so the truth is there, no matter what kind of garbage people want to push at us. And people finally stood up and said, no, we've had enough. We're not going to buy this trash anymore. We don't believe that boys can be girls and girls can be boys. We don't believe that the only thing that separates us is a couple of body parts. We are entirely different. And even if you try and pump somebody full of hormones, the DNA doesn't change. They're still exactly who God created them to be. They're just living a lie. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And that's what we have to be about. But the problem is far deeper, because it has infiltrated into our church. It's one thing to be able to look at it on the secular level and the politics and the media, but it has made its way in to the church. The tragedy is that back years ago, And they said they wanted to open up the windows of the church. The devil flew right in. And they knew that even back then. Paul VI said the smoke of Satan has entered the church. Problem is, they didn't close the windows when the smoke was coming in. So they just allowed it to come in. And now the same kind of garbage that the media has been pushing, we're hearing coming from voices in the church, high-ranking voices in the church. And it is causing tremendous confusion. And worse than that, it is causing a crisis in people's faith. As we continue to watch as people walk away because the church doesn't stand for the truth. Well, the church does stand for the truth. It's some individuals in the church that do not. Unfortunately, because they have titles in front of their name, it causes a lot of confusion for people. But always remember one of the beautiful things about being Catholic is that everything's written down and the truth cannot change. Just because Father Joe Schmo or Bishop Groovy or Cardinal whomever decides that he's going to say this, that, or the other thing, they cannot change the truth. The church has taught something infallibly, it can never, ever change. Just because we're in the 21st century and we know better than all other humanity that's ever lived, it's a bunch of nonsense. The truth remains the truth, and the truth cannot change. And that is going to be absolutely necessary for all of us to keep in mind as we move forward. As I mentioned to you a couple of months ago when this election happened, on one hand, you could say we dodged a bullet. We have to look at it from a different perspective. So as I mentioned then, people voted for economics. They voted about immigration. And yet at the same time, in almost, with a couple of exceptions, but in almost every instance where they had an opportunity to vote whether or not to allow abortion, with only a couple exceptions, they allowed it all. There's not been a conversion in the minds and hearts of people. They just want to make sure their wallets are in better shape. They want to make sure that the job situation is in good shape. All those are good and fine. But what about our souls? Do we care that our soul is in shape? And as we continue forward, I'm afraid we're heading for trouble. We're heading for trouble on the natural level. We've all heard about all these drones flying around on the East Coast. Then it comes out that somewhere or another they lost a nuclear warhead. Really? We just lost one. We misplaced it, I guess. We don't know where it is. So we've got drones up there trying to find it. Yeah, that just happens every day, doesn't it? There's trouble on the horizon. We're living in a very eerie silence right now. All this designed to get people comfortable, to think that all is well. It is not. We look at what happened in the church. It's last October, we had this synod on synodality. And we're being told suddenly that there's a new church. And the church is synodal. Really? But we had to have a synod to even talk about what it means to be synodal, because we don't know what it means, but we are it. Now, how does that make sense? But that's the game that they're playing. And of course, what they're telling us is that we need to get rid of this centralized government. We need to spread this around. The bishops' conferences need to be able to make doctrines for their own countries. But isn't it an amazing thing that every single week, literally, they're excommunicating another priest because he had the guts to stand up and say something's not right? This is just about as hypocritical as the party that calls itself Democrat putting somebody in as the presidential candidate who was not democratically placed in there. Yeah. Lots of talk. Doesn't follow. And we have to keep in mind also that Pope Francis set up a bunch of study groups. And remember, the synod was all about listening and accompaniment. And when the lay people stood up, and as I have told you, what is coming, the church is going to be saved by the laity. During the crisis of the modernist heresy, we were saved by the religious order priests. They've all gone, not all, but they've gone crazy themselves this time. So we're not going to be able to be saved by the religious orders, certainly not going to be saved by the diocesan priests. It's going to be the lay people. And so when they said in their listening session that what they want is the decentralization, that all the different bishops' conferences can make their own rules and their own doctrines for their own countries, the lay people stood up and said no. But because we're a listening church now, they changed the agenda and they brought in an expert to be able to tell these lay people why they're all wrong. That they can listen to the expert tell them what's going to happen, including the fact, as he mentioned, that canon law is going to be changed starting in May to allow the bishops' conferences to do these things that the listening church just ignored when the people spoke and said, no, you don't do this. So once again, you see what's going on. If this is all about listening, and this is all about inclusion, it's not happening. This isn't about an agenda. This is about undermining the truth and undermining the church. If we listen to the messages that are being put out, the messages being sent on all these different levels, there's something that is missing over and over and over and over again. And it's Jesus. Oh, we can send messages of well wishes to this and that. We don't say anything about Jesus. We don't say anything about the conversion of sinners. We don't say anything about repentance because everybody's going to heaven anyway. And so we're, in essence, denying our Lord. This is where our faith, as the people of God, has to remain firm. This is where, just as the people of our country said no to the nonsense, the people of the church need to say no to the nonsense. And the only way to do that is going to be to keep our focus on Jesus. Yes, we can make our voices heard. They'll ignore them, but we can make them heard. But we need to go back to what we heard in the first reading. The grace of God has appeared. It is only the Lord who can fix this mess. I don't think it's going to get fixed on a human level. I think on the human level, they want chaos. I think it's coming soon to a world near you. And if we don't have our focus on Jesus in the midst of the chaos, we will have no hope, because we're not being guided. We're not being directed as to where we need to go. We're not being shown the way. But you and I know the way. It is the Lord. So even if our human shepherds aren't showing us what they should, the Good Shepherd will continue to do so. And he's the one we need to follow. So I've been warning you for a long time of the chaos to come. It's coming very soon. We need to be prepared. It's going to happen on the natural level, but we don't need to be worried about stocking up and filling the basement with stuff. We need to be prepared for the spiritual chaos. We need to have our souls in good order. We need to have our prayer life in good order. And we need to be focused on serving the Lord. We think about all that other stuff, and people get so scared and worried and whatever. Just need to remember what Jesus said. Seek first the kingdom of God and his way of righteousness, and everything else will be provided for you. You need to worry about all that stuff. God is infinitely bigger than all of it. He can handle it all if we will trust him, if we will actually put our faith into practice, if we will act in charity, and if we will act in a selfless way, but truly putting him as the focus. He'll handle everything. We just need to trust. That's a challenge for some of us. It's a huge challenge. But if we can learn now, while it's somewhat peaceful, how to do this, then when it's not peaceful, at least we know how to do it. We can keep coming right back to that. That's what we're going to need to do. So we need to brace ourselves. Don't get caught in the thing. Remember, Jesus said, just when people are saying peace and security, what do we hear? Peace and security. This is great. We've got all this prosperity on the horizon. Everything is great. Yeah. We've been warned. And we need to be prepared. By that, again, I mean spiritually. So I think this year is going to be a very interesting one. And as I've told you before, right now, Satan is about this close to what he has been trying to put in place. Well, really from the garden, but the last 300 years in a very specific way, starting with the French Revolution and everything that's followed from it coming into America, he is this close. You can't convince me that he's going to now sit back and go, well, I guess the people don't want what I'm selling, so we better back off, regroup, try this again in a couple hundred more years and see if we can do this. No, 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 no. He's too close to what he wants. He's not going to quit now. But you know what? Neither are we. We have our Lord. We have our Blessed Lady. We have the truth. So we don't need to worry. We just need to be faithful, because we know that truth and charity are going to win out. It's just that simple. Our Lady, in one of her appearances, I don't remember how to pronounce the name of the little town that she appeared in over in Italy, just back not too long ago, just 20, 30 years ago, whatever it was, Via Vicenza or something like that. Anyway, she said, we have weapons that are infinitely more powerful than the most powerful weapons that they have. They've got nuclear weapons. We've got Our Lady's Rosary. And she's telling us that is infinitely more powerful. We have Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament that is literally infinitely more powerful than anything. If there's any question, just remember what happened literally at ground zero in Hiroshima with that community of priests that were living the Fatima message. Everything else was blown up and they were not touched. Their house wasn't blown away. None of them even got radiation poisoning because they prayed Our Blessed Lady's Rosary. So we have the rosary, we've got the Holy Face Chaplet, we've got our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, we've got the truth, we've got the Holy Mass, well, for as long as we've got it anyway, but we've got it right now. And the Mass isn't going to go away. It might have to go underground, but it's not going to go away. We've got everything. Just don't let them take your focus off of it, because that's what they're going to try to do. Get the chaos going so that we're looking here and there and everywhere and we take our focus off of Jesus. This is Our Lady's time. Stay with her. She will keep you with her Son. We don't need to fear. We don't need to worry. We don't need to get anxious. We just need to practice our faith. We need to take what it is that we profess day after day after day, and we actually have to put it into practice. Which is why this is such a glorious time. It's not going to be fun. But as I keep telling you, if you want to be a saint, there has never been a time in history that is better. So it's a great blessing to be alive right now. It's a great blessing to have the opportunity to go through what we're going to go through. It's going to test our mettle. It's going to test us to the core. But if we can remain faithful through it, we are going to rise to be some of the greatest saints that the world has ever known. That's what God is calling you to. So take it up. Just pray. Put this into practice. We say that we believe. Now we need to act on it. And that's going to come in prayer. And it's going to come following from prayer and the charity that we have toward others, including toward our enemies, by the way, because that's what Jesus told us to do, to love our enemies, to pray for our persecutors. So we're going to have that opportunity. Look at the situation Jesus came into. What we're celebrating today, as our Lord came into this world, as he was presented in the temple, as he was circumcised, all the different things that happened, he came into a situation that was many ways similar to our own today. Loads of corruption, both within the government and within the church. All kinds of problems, people being unfaithful, people falling away, people being more secular than they are religious. That was in the holy city of Jerusalem. Remember, we're told Herod and all Jerusalem were troubled. Why? Because the Messiah was born. They were troubled by that. They didn't rejoice in it. They were troubled. So we're living in a secular society. We're living in a time of apostasy. We're living in a time where people don't know the truth anymore. But it has been given to you. And while you may not have been very well catechized, take the opportunity to learn. There are resources there. Learn the faith and put it into practice. But most importantly, pray so that you can learn how to love Jesus. If you can love him, he's going to let you love everyone else. And that's what the world is going to need. Not some goofy kind of emotional thing. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the true charity of God. Look at the cross. There is love. There is the charity of God. And now he's giving us the opportunity as a church, because the church is going to be crucified, to be able to participate in that love, to bring that love into the world. So it's a great privilege. But look at the cross. Remember, that privilege comes with a cost. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fun. And yet, it is literally the greatest event in the last 2,000 years. And you get to be a part of it. Now, maybe you'd say, I'd rather not. Guess what? God created you now. If he didn't want you to be part of it, he would have created you 100 years ago or 100 years from now. He didn't do that. Put you here now. So, praise God. Take up the cross and follow him. That's all that he's asking. To be faithful to who you claim to be, to who you profess to be faithful to him, to be faithful to his church, to his truth, because neither he nor his church nor the truth can change. So they're telling us we have a new church. We can't. Church is 2,000 years old. The church is Jesus Christ. We don't have a new church. We can't have a new church. So we remain faithful to what we have had right along. And that is not going to change. So don't worry about all that. No matter what you hear, doesn't matter. Because you know what the truth is. You know who the truth is. So just keep your focus where it belongs. In the midst of all the chaos, you'll be at peace, because you'll be united with our Lord.